Although I can't, I don't know how many times I have to watch a movie to be able to quote it. Twice is not enough.
I mean, Erica and I have been together for almost 10 years, so I've watched this movie 10 times. Wow. No. Nine and a half.
A half? What happened?
So I went to see this movie.
Are we on rolling?
Yeah, we're rolling.
I went to see this movie on a date in high school over like Christmas
when it came out.
Yo!
Yep, I remember. And, I'll never forget.
And we left. My date and I.
Wait. Yeah, why?
Because it's a terrible movie.
No, it's not. Oh no.
We made it through the cold open. So when he's like talking to his buddy who we never see again after he's leaving the hockey game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we made it that far, and she turns to me and she's like, "Can we go?"
Wow.
It, like, if you don't buy into the comedy, into the humor of it, it is a miserable film.
That cold open sets the tone, and you have to be okay with that. And the fat suit and all everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was getting into because Gressel, maybe I've only seen it one time because I watched it with you guys in
Erica. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think I watched it before. That was my first time.
That was probably your first time.
Yeah.
And that's why you probably agreed to watch it. Because Gressel
was like, I hate this movie. I don't want to see this movie. And Erica
movie.
And Mike were both like, we love this film. Gressel's wrong. And so I'm like, it's just a Christmas movie, right, fam? So we sit down to watch it. And immediately it's like, oh. Should I be offended? No. What?
It's
a riot.
There's so much to really enjoy in that movie. There's so many things that I've come to really love about it. Like how they always have the windows down because they can't shoot through the window.
Yeah, right. So he's like in his car rubbing his hands together and it's like the windows are rolled down. It's
covered in snow outside. The windows are down.
It's a good comedy.
It is a good comedy.
It's a great comedy.
It's a fun time.
It is quotable.
Listeners, do you have any idea what movie we're talking about? There were some clues. Did we
not say the title?
We said it in the beginning, didn't we?
I don't think I was rolling yet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, like, comment, and subscribe and tell us what movie we're talking about.
We're just going to leave it in suspense. Darla.
Darla.
Yeah, but we're not. We're gonna. That's a peek into our plans after we're done recording this episode. But
it's the holidays.
First, we're going to do the regular episode. So this is the episode that was promised. We have had some difficulties getting it out.
We're here now, though.
But we're here now. And some time ago, we did make some food for this episode. Oh, I just broke my pen.
You nervous?
Yes.
Do we need to talk about it?
Thanks for being vulnerable with us.
Always. Every time we record, which I think is good.
Yeah.
But yeah, some time ago when we originally set out to record this, we did make food. You guys came over and helped make it, which was super fun.
That's the first time we've done that.
Yes.
For the show, I think.
Yeah,
which is crazy, really.
Yeah.
We should do that more. It was a lot of fun. Let's see if we have our shtick down for describing this feeling.
Hey, listeners, this is the third time we've recorded the intro to this particular episode.
Yeah, we had some technical difficulties. We had some scheduling issues. We're finally able to do it. We did brunch. When we originally thought that we were going to record, brunch is a shared meal. All of this little prequel arc inspired by shared meals. And brunch is one of my favorite shared meals. It's a great time. The kind of cliche brunch that we've come to know now of like out at a restaurant late in a morning on a weekend, bottomless mimosas, that kind of thing. We've had some good brunches in our time.
Is brunch like a nationwide thing? Because I never brunched when I lived in Michigan. It was only when I moved out to Los Angeles that I started brunching.
It seems a bigger deal.
Yeah.
On the coast.
I can't imagine brunching in the winter.
No, it
a
doesn't
cold brunch.
Why would you?
Seem right. It seems like an outside under an umbrella on a table that, like one of those like frosted glass tables or something. Like
I'm not gonna in like it what would it be 1 p or 11?
Yeah, like 11.
11. I'm not going to get
go
bundled
scrape
up,
your
scrape
car.
The ice off my car.
Maybe go have to shovel.
Yeah, to go to brunch where it's like I'm going to drink and have fun, but then I'm going to have to get
orange juice and champagne in the middle of winter, 11 a.m.
Get in my car, drive back.
I have to go shovel the backyard.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that. Oh my God. Brunch in the winter. It's not allowed.
That's so funny to think about. Oh, yeah, let me just real quick. Scrape the car off. Go get a quick eggs Benny.
Yeah, Beth. If you and I lived in Michigan and we had to go to brunch in the middle of winter,
what a chore!
We're normally 30 minutes late to everything we do.
Oh no,
we would be an hour late.
It's so sweet that he's saying we.
It's not I married Mike's you. Fault. We're in this together,
for better or worse.
Yes,
my love.
I would be. Just like, well, fuck this.
you would never make it to brunch.
No, I would say just...
No, we'd end up going to a Coney Island diner.
Yes.
I mean, yes, that's true.
That's the Michigan brunch. Yeah. It's going brunch. To a diner.
It's going to a Coney, yeah.
Getting a coffee and hash browns and eggs and hot... Just in the big yellow tungsten room and salt
and
toasty.
Big Pepsi, like, plastic
the big,
cups.
Yeah, the red, yeah. With, like, the
Coca-Cola.
Texture, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we don't have those out here.
We don't. I should order some from the restaurant supply, actually. Those Pepsi cups.
That would be, and then we can make root beer floats in them.
Fuck yes.
Yes.
Oh,
okay. New
you know
shared
what?
Meal
just
idea.
Go ahead and I'm gonna open that tab up right now. I'm not gonna take the time.
We're gonna
to
have
that,
open but... shelving in our new place, Mike. We can display some bubbly
Coney cups. Oh my God.
What's the website called, Gressel?
If you're in a cold weather climate, do you brunch in the winter? Let us know on Twitter.
And if you do, you're insane.
Yeah, we disagree. we made it at home. We did the at home version. I asked Beth and Mike what are your can't miss brunch foods, and you gave very different answers.
Yeah, sorry. We didn't know that we were, like, writing the menu.
Yeah, I guess I didn't make that clear. I was just like, what sounds good? What do you like for brunch? Yeah, Beth, you said chilaquiles,
mm-hmm.
which I never had before living in Los Angeles.
Me neither.
Yeah.
And now I love them so much.
Very good.
And if you've never had them before, it's a breakfast food that's, like, sunny-side-up eggs on top of tortilla chips with salsas.
Soggy breakfast nachos, essentially.
Soggy might not be the word that I choose to use, but delicious nonetheless.
Yes, I want to temper expectations and let people know that if you order chilaquiles, there could be a sog.
There is, but I think it's still great. I will eat day-old chilaquiles. I'm that bitch.
Lives and dies by the salsa, uh-huh. I think. Yeah, which we made our own.
Divorciados.
Yes.
Gressel taught me divorciados. It means that both... red and green salsas on the plate at the same time.
Yes.
Unlike your parents.
Oh,
Beth. Oh my gosh, she's gone insane.
Yeah, I was, I learned of this kind of style from the Gabriella Camara Masterclass, which is not an ad, I just have a subscription. And she made it with huevos rancheros with the two salsas, but we did it with chilaquiles, we did salsa roja, salsa verde. I love salsa
so
verde,
good.
Personally.
Gressel let us go home with the salsas, and I've been putting it on every food.
Which is the orange one?
The salsa roja.
Roja.
Yeah. At first, I liked the other one.
Verde.
But then I had the orange one. I was like, oh.
Roja.
Yeah.
Use the words, love.
A little bit spicier, the roja was. But yeah, we made them. It was super fun. I left out a couple ingredients in the verde. Had you taste it to be like, what's missing? Which was super fun for
me.
I did.
Ooh.
I did it on purpose.
Ooh, that's exciting.
You failed.
No.
Oh, no. You're right. I was thinking about the cheese.
I just didn't remember the right word.
You got it. Yeah, yeah.
He was like, what's it missing? And I was like, well, it's sweet, but it's missing a kick. It's missing something zesty, something wild. And he was like, the word you're looking for is acid.
Yes, it was. And we finished it off and it was super fun. Made the tortillas.
Yeah. First time I've ever done that.
Mm-hmm.
From Harina Masa.
Masa
Harina.
Yeah.
We made the dough in a fucking plastic bucket, baby.
Yeah.
One day. I make Vlogmas videos on my second channel on YouTube. One day I'll post this event.
You can watch us
watch us make brunch.
So check that out on Beth's YouTube Is it Beth B. Rand?
Beth B. Extra.
Beth B. Extra on YouTube eventually. And then Mike's side of things.
Yeah. I said I can't miss a cinnamon roll.
Yeah.
It's a lie because I've not had a cinnamon roll in 2 years.
This I didn't know at the time. I was like, I got to find a good recipe. I got to make sure I live up to Mike loves cinnamon rolls.
Yeah, they're my favorite thing in the world.
It's his middle name.
I just don't eat them ever. So I don't know. It was delicious. We made them. You made the dough. I rolled it with the cinnamon and sugar and butter. Lots of butter.
Yep.
Needed more butter.
Needed more, I think. Yeah, I butter. Think we end up deciding we could probably have gone up on the filling a little bit, but still excellent.
Yeah.
They turn out really good. Yeah.
Great.
I ate too many of them in subsequent days. But yeah, those turned out super good. I it ended up being, I think, better than expected because of the, like, the heat from the salsas, and then have something sweet like that was... I thought it ended up being really nice.
Well, I'm glad.
It set us up nice, though, to have a nice, fun recording that was not meant to be.
We lost it, guys.
We lost it.
We didn't get all the way through the episode, so fortunately, there's not going to be any backtracking here.
Yeah, but... it's not going to be... In season one, we, like, fully lost an episode and, like, but that's not going to be what happened this time. There was a technical... We don't have it. This isn't going to be something where I find it later and we'll post it. No, it does not exist. So...
What did James say back when he lost that first episode? We just talked to each other for 3 hours for nothing?
Yeah. Oh, that was the discussion where like the cord got kicked out.
Yeah.
And we lost it and we were like, we just talk. Yeah.
We just had a conversation and for
no
what?
Reason. Yeah.
No monetization at all. We get paid for it. We just talked.
At that point, there was no monetization.
I know,
no,
but just like, just that thought process where it's fuck, no monetization.
That's a problem that the three of us have.
Yes.
We keep accidentally not recording the episode because we just get into fun conversations privately.
Yeah.
We should make a different podcast that's, oops, we didn't record D&D. We just talked about art for 3 hours.
Oh my God, but maybe.
It's you got to like roll as we come up the stairs and plug in.
Yeah, right. I need a shotgun right at the top of the stairs.
A microphone, microphone, not a gun, guys. If you're not.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Clea, to clarify, I need a what is it? Non-cardioid
microphone.
Or whatever. Yeah, microphone. Yeah.
He's not threatening us to get. In our seats.
No.
That's, yeah.
Although sometimes. But yeah, so we're going to go. We're going to record. We're going to see what happens here with the you know, creative juices in our brains. What kind of salsas can come out of our mind, Tomatillos? We're off to a really good start.
Whoa.
Writing that down.
Like,
what kind of salsas can come out of our mind, Tomatillos? What?
What were you even trying to say?
I don't
just
know.
That?
You can extrapolate
I'm
from that.
I'm trying my hardest.
I don't like the taste of your salsa, dude. If you can't figure it out, I don't know about your salsa, dude.
Missing acid.
Oh, I'll take some water.
We will do the Dungeons and Dragons now. So, now that we're 15 minutes in, so this is a Dungeons and Dragons show, and we're telling the story of two characters from our other story when they were young. You should know that by now. If you don't, start from the beginning and go back 140 episodes to episode one from 2017.
The beginning kind of sounds like, welcome to D&D, the dinner role playing.
I haven't said that. Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah. To the master.
Because we were talking about Just Friends. Oh, that's the movie that we were talking about.
Spoiled.
Yeah, welcome to D&D, the dinner party role playing podcast. I'm your host and Dungeon Master, James Gressel, made it air, or Beth and Mike, the fun people. Say hi, fun people.
Yo.
Yo.
Alicia. What was her name?
Darla.
I'm trying.
I can't wait to watch the movie again, and then we just quote it. I'm busy, dick.
She's got her toothpaste. It's so stupid.
Okay, boys.
See, Gressel loves it.
It's happening again. We have to go. At least we're already recording.
You got
now,
the intro.
So.
We got the intro out.
The intro is done.
So we're good.
16 minutes.
We're starting.
You can cut all that.
I don't want to. It's fun.
It's Christmas. It's Christmas uncut.
Christmas uncut. Yeah, so go back, listen to the show. Once you're caught
up... Don't tell them to leave. They're here.
They're here. You're here. Yeah, and this is the story. So Beth plays Katheria, Mike plays Nils, and that's the story we're telling. I play everyone else. And
Jumbo and Navia.
Yep, chief among them. The Jumbo and Navia, and that's the story we're telling. Last we left you guys off. Yeah, you guys were investigating a crash site of some kind after the wizard Plinthor and Belamore told you that he could return you to your home world from the Feywild if you helped him find some missing dinner guests. The crash site yielded some clues, among them that there were these hourglasses, most of which were broken. One was mostly intact, however, it had a crack that you magically mended. Mm-hmm. It appears intact. You found a big spear as well, and like a big tank that was broken that you believe contained fish. After investigating, you concluded that these hourglasses belong to a order of chronomancers who are predominantly dragonborn. You don't know much else about them, and you believe the spear to be from a race of pigatars, pig men who are known as hunters. You don't know much else about them as well. You were attacked in the woods by a band of elven bandits who worked for a cult of some kind, a cult that followed a figure known as Eurynthanius. You want to do it, Beth?
Yenaranthius Argaranthium.
Yep.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
Thanks. I wrote it down in my... I maybe already said this in a different episode. I'm not sure, but I wrote it down in my notes with like spaced... markers for how to pronounce it.
Perfect. That's what I should do.
Cult of the White Oak.
The White Oak, yes. The cult's emblem was a white oak, unlike the black oak that you're familiar with from Night's Pass.
Mm.
You made quick work of most of his companions and intimidated this bandit leader who claimed that he would run away, and then in exchange he gave you some information. There is a cult hideout in the city. And that is where we are going to pick you guys back up. Katheria was Zone of Truth.
Yeah, for 10 minutes.
For 10 minutes. So we will see if anything came out of that 10 minutes. Through the magic of improvisation. the city, as you have heard it referred to, you don't know the name of this massive city here in the Feywild, this capital city, is incredibly sprawling. We are familiar from the main D&D story back in season one. Juno and Margarine visited the city, and they predominantly spent their time in the massive tiered like city center, which is this huge like cone of terraced levels that gradually get smaller and smaller until you get to the very top where the Council of Fey Elves rules over. You entered into the city, the four of you entered into the city in a completely different part, like a totally different entrance. You're on like the other side of things. So there is a sprawling urban mass that radiates out from this central city center, this mountain of city. That cone, one way or the other, looms over the rest of this city as it sprawls out. And you can see, you saw that cone from miles away as you approached, as you left the woods and headed towards the city. It really pulled your focus until you got close enough to see other aspects of the city that were equally fantastic and impressive. Among them, these very, very tall, long, multicolored horse creatures that moved about the city, crawled about the city as public transportation, it seems like. They have strapped to their backs instead of saddles, kind of long carriages that seem to hold maybe 8 to 12 people at a time. They're about 30 feet tall, these long, tall horses of many colors. They bound down the center of these boulevarded streets. Instead of any kind of like subway cars or buses, it's these big, giant horses. You also have flying about these leathery-winged flying creatures. They're not quite pterodactyls, but they're not quite birds. They have these long, colorful tails, but leathery dinosaur-like wings.
Is anybody flying on them?
They are unmanned, but they seem to have a purpose. There are many of these flying around the sky above the city, and they seem to know where they need to be going. Hmm. You don't know what their purpose is, but there are these colorful birds. or bird-like creatures. In addition to the big horses, there are plenty of people moving around these streets. Most of the populace seems to be elves. A vast majority seems to be elves, mostly high elves. You don't see, you don't really see wood elves like Navia around. You see mostly high elves, and elvish is the predominant language, the kind of default language of the city. The signage and everything is in language.
So back in the beginning of D&D, when we visited the city, there were like subjugated dragonborn everywhere.
Yeah, the guards. Yeah, the knights.
Yeah. Are there dragonborn that we can see here?
No, there are not dragonborn that you can see there. The city watch, such as they are all elven.
Hmm.
You do not see any dragonborn. You see the odd lizard person, different from a dragonborn in that their whole personage is much more lizard. It's not as refined and elegant as a dragon. And we know from D&D that dragonborn, at least your experience with dragonborn in your world, the known world, the degree of dragon ancestry affects the way in which the dragonborn looks. So you have somebody like Wendell the blacksmith, who is like very dragony, got a lot of dragon in the mix, and has this very impressive, imposing dragon visage with the horns and the sunken eyes and the snout and the smoky breath and everything. Or you have people who look more human, but have maybe some like scales on their face or something. But the dragonborn knights that you came across in the Feywild were very like imposing, draconic looking. And the lizardborn or the lizard folk that are walking around these streets, the lizard folk that are walking around the street are more Gerbert Murper. Like, they're smaller, they're much more lizardy, big eyes, they're goofy looking. Mm-hmm. They're not
just a
majestic.
Bunch of goofy businessmen.
Yeah.
Going about their day.
Yeah. Like they're, it's just a bunch of like tall Geico geckos, and not super tall, like 4 or 5 feet tall kind of,
tall for
a Geico gecko. That they are, they're going about their business. And yeah, some of them do seem to be kind of like salesman-y,
holding onto their suspenders.
Suspenders, yeah.
Thumbs hooked under their suspenders. Like, right. Oh, yeah, welcome.
Do they speak Elvish?
They can. It's you over every conversation that you overhear as you're walking in the city is in Elvish.
Damn.
Nils does not speak or read.
No.
Katheria and Navia certainly do.
Mm-hmm.
But as you walk through the city, you realize, or as you walked through the city to your present location, Katheria, roll perception.
Happy.
Nils, you can roll it as well.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not good, y'all. 8.
7 from Nils.
We are amazed, I think.
Yeah.
Both of us are like, this is outstanding. I've never seen such large creatures flying above me. The shops are all these different colors, what's being sold, the smells, the conversations. It's just so foreign.
Bo, could you imagine traveling on these horses? We'd cover so much ground.
This one has taken 2 steps. We've walked for, it seems like a quarter mile. Two steps.
Yeah, effortlessly.
But I do not care for the smell, I will say.
Oh, yeah, I know. I was too amazed to pay attention to my nose.
Oh, you always must follow your nose.
Yeah, I'm a little stuffed right now.
Always turn left, always follow your nose. We have rules.
Yeah, not that I'm not following them.
Okay, well, just making sure.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thanks for checking up on me.
As Nils and Majumbo are talking, Katheria and Navia, you guys are looking around and you're amazed by the megafauna, but there's really what has drawn Navia's eye is more the way in which the city planning has been integrated with what appears to be the existing natural world. Every single piece of like architecture has some sort of plant life aspect to it. And it's unclear if it's aesthetic or if it's overtaken by nature. Like the nature just broke through and is growing on this thing because it has to, or because it's put there purposefully. It looks it looks so good you can't tell. There are aqueducts that are ferrying water all over the city that fall into fountains that have beautifully colored flowers sprouting from them. Some of these flowers are then in turn pouring liquids into different pools that cause different scents to happen that help mask some of the giant horse smell. There are plants that create almost natural seating areas that people gather in town squares, like giant flower plumes that people kind of just lounge about and are casually taking their lunch coffees on. There are big flowers that serve as umbrellas, shielding passersby from the sun as it beats down through the city streets. The section of city that you're in right now is not particularly high. The buildings don't go above two stories, and vast contrast to the city center cone. You're in a more, not necessarily suburban because it's very, very crowded, but maybe an older section of the city, maybe a newer section of the city, but it doesn't have the kind of density that that center cone does, even though it is a flurry of activity. It seems like what you're in is a market square type area. There are vendors lining the streets of all different kinds of things. Spices, fruits, dried meats, nuts. It is just sensory overload. You're smelling smells you've never smelled before. You're seeing things you've never seen before. Even texturally, as you walk, the road underneath you is nice to walk on, which is a weird thing, and you don't know if it's a magical effect or if it's the material that the road is made out of. It's just a strange kind of everything it seems in this area is made to make you excited for the things around you, and you see that the citizens, again, mostly elves, but some creatures that are for lack of better descriptor, from your perspective, monstrous. You see, you see humanoid creatures that have colorful skin and long ears like elves, but then have more pig-like snouts and tusks like orcs or ogres. But they are small and slight like elves, and it's just, you know, maybe a different offshoot of a different kind of humanoid species here. You don't know. They seem to be interacting friendly with everybody. Nobody seems antagonistic. All these different beings coming together to sell their wares in this market square. You don't see any, especially with those perception rolls. You don't see any other humans. You don't see any halflings. You don't see any dwarves. You see the odd gnome, but they're few and far between. You've been walking through as you've been, you know, taking in these sights. You didn't really realize it at first, but the way that you're arranged is Majumbo's kind of been taking the lead. He is in the front of the column. He seems less enamored by the surroundings as than the other three of you. There's something for everybody, really, but he doesn't seem to be as wowed.
I think Katheria has been paying attention to Majumbo ever since noticing earlier that his rapier was like so
fancy,
refined. Yeah. She's trying to figure him out. He's a bit of a mystery to her, and she's intrigued by him. So I think she's been paying attention to his behavior.
Yeah. Roll insight.
13.
13 is enough for you to notice that he is looking around more with purpose than with wonder. He's not gazing up at the giant horses. He's not distracted by whatever it is those flying creatures are doing. He's not wandering to vendors to you know, look for a snack or a trinket or some sort of memento. He is walking with purpose, in a way that he hasn't up to this point.
I'm gonna whisper to Navia in Elvish?
Mm-hmm.
Navia, pay attention to Majumbo. Didn't he and Nils say that they... It's a fluke that they're here at all, but he's acting like he knows where he's going.
There is something kind of strange about him. It's... He's not like Nils. He's got...
No.
You know...
What?
Yeah, right? Like, they're just... You guys are talking in Elvish, and he's just hearing his name. Oh, nothing. We're just wondering if you think you could take one of the giant horses in a fight.
In an
arm wrestling?
Well, it seems to be something you enjoy.
Well, yeah, but look how giant. That's illogical.
You're right.
You're right. Silly.
So yeah, we just, you know.
That guy over there, though.
just looks
and we look.
I can take that guy, not a problem, but I can't take a beast like that. I can't, in an arm
like
wrestling.
Like a tiny suspender lizard folk. Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, and anybody like a newspaper?
Yeah, right. Yeah, like a little cap.
All right, don't mock me. I'm talking about that big guy, not the little guys.
It's like a big tusk guy comes up behind and buys a newspaper.
Yeah. That gentleman reading the newspaper.
Oh, silly. Gosh. Silly ass.
Yeah, all right, fine. It's all good. And then I get distracted by something else.
We should maybe keep an eye on him. It's you know, we don't really know much about them. They do seem trustworthy, and Nils at least. Mm. Yes, we agree. You know, he did save us when we were projecting. So if they wanted us to harm us, they could have allowed harm to happen.
They certainly have not harmed us, no. But there's something more to him.
That happens with bards. They make stuff up for a living. I don't trust it.
Artsy folks, it's really hard to put your finger down on what they're all about, huh?
The make-em-ups for a living? I don't really respect it.
It's much easier to understand a warrior.
Yes, it's clear goals. Clear goals are important.
And the muscles.
What?
What?
Hey everybody, Gressel here with a few quick announcements, then we can get you right back to it. First of all, thank you for your patience last week as we ran into all kinds of recording issues and ended up having to push a week to today. So we will be now starting our every other week cadence with this week. So the next episode will be coming on the 12th. So no new episode next week, but the next one will be on January 12th, first episode of the new year. So really excited for everything that 2022 will bring us. Thank you so much for sticking with us throughout 2021. That's it for me. We're just going to do the ad and then get you back to the show. So thanks, everybody. Do what's fun.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
You're suddenly stopped by a shout from a like cafe type building, tables out front, all set up al fresco, and a green skinned elf or elven like creature calls out to you from within and says, "Humans, you humans, come on,
hey,
come here.
That's me.
Yes, you.
That's the first time we've heard common.
Oh yeah." Yeah, you guys want to go over there?
I know humans. Humans always want to eat. You come, you eat.
He's
come,
not wrong.
Sit. And then you hear from across the street, there is another such restaurant, similarly set up.
Uh-huh.
Tables out front. It almost looks like a mirror image, right down to the same kind of decor, except a red-skinned elvish creature calls you and says, "Humans, no, you come here."
Oh, okay.
Don't go over there. Come here. You eat here. You humans always want food. Come here. Food's better here.
Well, food's better over there. We should go over there.
No,
you're just
humans.
Gonna take their word for it?
Wait, what? I don't.
they start arguing with each other in Elvish, and they just start screaming at each other. They're still standing behind their respective counters. They're in their restaurants. They're yelling very loud, and they're yelling at each other across you. You're caught in the middle of the street. Everyone else is just ignoring you and walking past.
That's good.
Katheria does not like the conflict here. She doesn't like the attention that's being not drawn, I guess. They're all walking past. Nobody's paying attention.
Nobody's really paying attention. Yeah. These two are yelling at each other in Elvish, and you're overhearing
enough
of it.
That's just
stressing her out. Yeah. And it seems very personal.
I have an idea.
What is your idea, my friend?
I think to win over our patronage, there must be a challenge.
Oh,
this is an interesting proposition. I'm curious if the vendors will go for this, but what did you have in mind?
That's as far as I got.
Oh, well, ladies, any ideas for a challenge to win our business?
Oh, I think that we should be keeping a low profile, don't you think?
Ladies and gentlemen, Majumbo.
And I just
out.
Look at Navia like this creative fuck.
This is what I'm talking about. We're trying to find a secret cult, and he's calling gathering a crowd.
I'm going to try to fade into the background a little bit.
Kat, please, one of you, would you translate for me? Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to an impasse here at this marketplace. These two fine establishments desire our business, the human business. Apparently, we always want food, and this, I will admit, at least speaking for myself and my boon companion, that this is true. This is a true fact. We are hungry. We have traveled many miles across worlds, in fact, to come and eat in this wonderful city. And where should we eat? What should we have these fine cooks do to earn our business? We have a green one and a red one. I don't know your names. I am sorry, but please. Would stop yelling at each other for just a moment and come out.
Yeah, you come over here. I think let's settle this with a classic card game. And I pull out my deck of cards.
A card game is always good.
This is so embarrassing.
There is always a winner and a loser in cards.
Yes.
Is there a crowd forming?
There is a crowd forming. It's like that big guy who was reading the newspaper and the lizard folk paperboy are kind of the first people to come over. There's some other passersby. You see that there is a big horse stop here, and some people get out. The horses like kneel down. And a magic stairway appears to let people out of the out of the carriage, and it takes up a lot of real estate. So you realize that that's probably why you are in this little section of the city has a little bit more of a clearing that the big horses have to kneel down to let people out.
A helicopter landing pad.
Yeah,
for the
it's
horses.
Essentially yeah a big rectangle, and
smell. Woof.
They get off. And they see that this kind of thing is happening, and they're like, what's going on? They hear all this common. Nothing's really happening between these two, the two clerks. But then Majumbo plays a little bit of music on his flute, and the clerks kind of look at each other, and then they start to come over. He keeps talking in common, and he says, now, my green friend, you were the first to reach out to us. Clearly, you want our business. Sir, what is your name? The green one says, Wynn. I guess.
Ah, what a good name.
I'm Wynn. Not sure why I came over here, but yes, I do want your business. Yes, and our red friend, what is your name? My name is Taryn. I also want your business. I also don't know exactly why I came over here, but...
For the thrill, this is going to be an exciting match.
Yes.
Between you two fine gentlemen, Taryn and Wynn.
Taryn and Wynn, we are going to have you draw cards, and the winner will get our business. It's an exciting moment. Ladies and gentlemen, can we hear? Yes, a round of applause for Wynn and Taryn. Who feels that we should dine at Wynn's restaurant? Let's hear some noise. And, and it's like Nils and like no one else. All right. We've got our lively crowd. And who thinks we should dine at Darren's place?
Woo!
All right, it's pretty even. It's just one.
It's going to be a simple game, a highly esteemed game in the human realm. It is called Go Fish.
What?
What? Yeah, they're going fishing for our business.
It makes sense.
The fucking Prince of Hoth goes to a new land, sets up a match, like a bunch of people watch it, and the card game he picks is Go Fish.
They don't know any different, right?
Oh.
Majumbo starts to play some music. He starts to kind of hype up the crowd. He's walking around in kind of a circle around the assembled people who are trying to see what's going on. He starts to whip up kind of a frenzy. People start cheering. Nils deals out the cards for Taryn and Wynn to play Go Fish, evidently. And the game commences.
Navy, I'm a bit ashamed to admit this, but the spirit seems to be sweeping me up a little bit.
I kind of hope Wynn wins, but I don't know why.
Do you want to bet?
Yes. What are we wagering? I have no money.
Well, since we don't have any money, how about a favor?
Oh, I suppose we could do this again.
You take Wynn, and I'll take Taryn.
All right, Team Green all the way.
Team Red all the way.
Let's go, Wynn! Come on! I don't know his cards. I don't really know how to cheer for Go Fish.
Well, that's the spirit, Navia. Yeah! All right.
And Kat just kind of puts her hand under her chin and watches.
Yeah, very serious. Like a coach stalking the sideline.
Kat, I see you getting into it a little bit, I think.
I do not look at him.
That's the spirit.
The two players are also really, really into it. You're surprised that these strangers who were just trying to get your business have now agreed to this, like, public competition in front of a crowd. And the crowd is really excited. They are kind of cheering whenever one of them, and they do speak in Elvish when they're playing the game, but whenever one of them tells the other to go fish, it is greeted with oohs and cheers and an excitement from the crowd.
The crowd's like starting to learn common. It's just like telling each other to go fish.
Fish. They just start chanting fish. Side bets are happening after Navia and Katheria made their first bet. You see money start to exchange hands, these coins, and things start to get pretty exciting here in the town square.
I wish I was a rogue.
I'd
pick pockets right now so good.
Your margarine is tingling.
It really is.
This goes on for a little while until ultimately, I guess I'll roll a d4. Odds or evens, Kat?
Odds.
Odds for Taryn. It's a 4.
That's an even. Oh, I lose.
Wynn wins and Navia wins and you owe Navia a favor.
A favor.
Nice.
I'm going to write this down in my new D&D logo notebook that I got from TeePublic.
Ooh. So really
check out our store.
Reppin' the merch?
Nice. Reppin' the merch, yeah.
Same rules as last time. No holds bar.
Yes. I can't wait. I'm going to save this for when you least expect it.
Suppose I deserve that for the last time.
Yes. Yes, you do. That crawl space was so gross. You need to take care of your things.
I know, but your hair is growing back.
Yes. Yes, it is. And it's gorgeous. Thank you. Nils, you get really caught up in the excitement. Like, people rush in to the center once Wynn wins.
Yeah, yeah. And, congratulations, Wynn.
Yeah, and you get really into it.
I take him and I guess I put his hand up in the air because I don't want to put him on my shoulders. Yeah. That might be too intimate.
But
we don't know each other that well.
Yeah.
But you kind of have that instinct and you start to.
Yeah.
And then the crowd feeds off that and lifts both of you up. Yeah. Leaving Taryn the loser to sulk back to his restaurant while everyone else is cheering for Wynn, the winner. Navy and Katheria, you guys are a little bit more on the outskirts of this crowd, but roll perception.
Yes, sir. 19.
You see Majumbo sneaking off to an alley.
I follow.
Mavia also follows. Nils, you're up on the crowd.
Yeah, alone.
I'm so sorry.
But I don't know that.
And you see, because you have the higher...
I have the high ground.
You have the vantage point yeah. now. One of the big orcish people moves out of the way, and then you see, you just are able to catch as your three companions disappear down an alley.
I feel a little sad by this.
that nobody's like, hey, wait, we got to get
down. Yeah, again, for the second time, I'm left alone. So my excitement dwindles a little. But I had the crowds all around, so I'm still like kind of performing now.
For the crowd.
Yeah, yeah, win! The winner!
Unlike me.
Hey.
A loser.
I'm not a loser.
The tiny voice in your head.
Yeah, is it because of my ears?
Majumbo doesn't notice at first that you have started to follow him. And you see, Navia definitely sees. You rolled a 19, she rolled a nat 20. You guys are dialed in now to what he's looking at. You can see that he is at least looking at and presumably reading signs.
Oh.
And he is following something. Eventually, he stops at kind of a crossroads. You realize that these alleys lead to like a narrow set of passageways. That's kind of a road, like city roadways behind the roadways. Like there's this other way of getting around that's behind buildings in these kind of narrow passages. This looks very old. Even though the buildings aren't very tall, the space between them makes this darker. There's less plant life here where you are behind these buildings. You have to kind of navigate past dumpsters and refuse. Every once in a while, a back door will open and a laborer will, you know, dump something or throw a bag. This is definitely the back side of this beautiful place. And eventually there you come to the crossroads and Majumbo abruptly stops and he turns to you. He says, oh, good, you followed. But where is Nils?
Before we do that, why did you sneak back into this back alley?
I caused a distraction. We need to find the White Oak. Were you not reading the signs? I mean, clearly this is in an older dialect, so if there's some sort of ancient cult, then maybe we should follow the older.
We had no idea that you could read Elvish.
Well, I don't like to advertise it, but I'm noble.
Oh, and it all makes sense all of a sudden. It all makes sense.
My house has fallen, I guess you could say, but the Namzarids were once a ruling house of a city that, you know, kind of, I don't want to say it so bluntly, but, you know, makes this place look kind of shitty, but, you know, it's
Namzarid
okay.
Of Laz Namzarid?
Yes.
Oh, and I think Katheria, who's never been to Plas Namzarid, but knows that, like in real life, how everything is stamped with made in China, she has come across so many goods and so many fruits, vegetables, produce, dairy, like you name it, comes from the trade city Plas Namzarid.
Yeah, everything it flows through there. In your world, it is a very much all roads lead to Rome situation, where Plas Namzarid is the biggest city in the world, the most major trade center. It is the hub of where east meets west. It is where north meets south. It's the place. So to hear that Majumbo is that that Namzarid, a member of that royal house, who Katheria would know has fallen from grace. They have not been in power for some time, but they're a very ancient house. If Majumbo is a member of that, then yes, he would absolutely know Elvish. He would absolutely have a fine weapon. He would absolutely be this kind of fancy kind of lad. The wealth in Plas Namzarid makes your family, the Earthidars, you know, look like backwoodsmen. Like there is the scope of that city in your world and the reach of that city in your world can't be overstated.
So what's going through her mind? She's just going to voice out loud.
Yeah.
What are you doing barding around with someone like Nils Haskendal.
And before we get that answer, we're going to check in with Nils. You've seen your buddies disappear. You're up on the shoulders of this crowd. What do you do?
And Wynn is with me.
He's like next to you. He's cheering. He's like, "You did it. Are you guys gonna order now?"
Yeah. Let's go.
We
order.
Have specials.
What? Yeah. Let's go. Show me.
And you kind of crowd surf over to the restaurant. He puts you. they put you down. So you're now down on the ground, and Wynn turns his back to you, and he's like, "All right, yeah, okay, we'll get a four top ready, and I'll send a waiter out."
Do you have anything to go?
To go,
like chicken nuggets or
chicken.
I mean, you said that you have human food, like humans like to eat, and we need to eat. I figured you'd have like. What do you have to go? Just give me some, like, fish sticks or something.
We then cut to Nils running down the alleyway holding a bag of, like, fish penises.
Because they said fish sticks?
Like, that's the joke.
That's so silly. Yeah, write it down in your inventory, dude.
I got a bag of fish sticks.
Got a bag of fish sticks. It's a shot of Wynn's face, and then it cuts to Nils running, holding down the alleyway, holding this bag.
Like a Scott Pilgrim moment where it's a cut to Wynn's face and the camera pans up and you see fish sticks as two words, but they scramble a little bit because his comment's not super great. That's how it turns into fish sticks.
It's just a translation problem.
Yeah.
Everybody learns the slang first. Everybody learns the swear words. Meanwhile, Majumbo has been caught off guard by the "why are you palling around with Nils" question. To which he looks at you almost hurt and says, like, with complete sincerity and, like, truthfulness, "He is my best friend. He deserves my companionship. He's earned it countless times over, and I would not imagine a life traveling this world with anybody else."
Truly.
Truly. And then he comes rushing up. out of breath.
Oh, is anybody behind me?
Him?
Him.
Hi. What? Where did you, why'd you guys leave? I had to go. Wynn won, and I had to go and buy something from his shop to keep my word, and you guys were gone. And I realized I had nothing to pay him with, so I stole this bag of fish. And apparently...
That doesn't look like fish.
Yeah. I realized it as I was running, and they were hit me in the back that I was running with a bag of fish sticks. But I got us food.
Him?
Him.
Well, Majumbo here has created an excellent distraction for us to continue our search for the white oak.
I think I might have to just drop this on the ground because it smells.
It smells bad. Yeah. This is not food that I want to eat. They were very off the mark in terms of what humans like.
Yeah, and it's also my fault because it's the first thing I saw and grabbed. So it's a little bit of my fault as well.
We need a menu with pictures.
Yeah, we do. That's why I love you, Bo.
Yes.
You're
if only we could speak the language here.
If only.
Make things so much easier.
Yeah, and I look at him.
He winks at you.
Oh, that was interesting. So the sign, he was reading signs in this back alley.
They were like old. This is like old town.
I'd like to look at what led you to. He has led us to. Is there like indication, anything on the walls?
Yeah, you start to emerge from like these alleyways. Once he's led you to this kind of like old town neighborhood, and you also now are paying attention to this signage, you can see that, you know, this is the part of town where like old has an E on it. You know, like it is been here for a very long time. You see that the kinds of shops here are not as frequented. There aren't as many people on these side streets as were in the area that you were in before. The patrons of these businesses seem to be walking with more purpose. The establishments, the food and drink establishments, are very much more tavern, much more seedy than the big boulevard that you were in before. That was this bustling marketplace full of color and vibrancy. This doesn't have as much of the plant integration as the other one, and what it does have is more viney, more ivy, more cling plant-y than flowering plants. Navy is looking around and she's like, I don't care for this part of town as much as the other one. Where are the big flower seats? It's so dark here. And you look up and you realize that you are in more of a covered area, but it's not covered by a building or an awning or anything like that. There are very large trees that have grown in this area. These buildings seem to have been built underneath a forest canopy, but these trees appear not necessarily dead, but dying. You would definitely know, Katheria, that these trees are on their way out. They have been affected by something.
The balance is off here.
I want to try to help these trees, but I Kat, can you help me? If maybe we can at least heal one of them.
And I walk to the tree. Okay, yeah. Okay.
You take some time and you guys cast plant growth together. It's weird because you feel the magic in a way that you don't in your world. You can feel the growth, the actual, like, there's something about the way that you're magically bringing about this plant life and the way that it's interacting with these trees, or this specific tree, you're focusing on this specific tree, that feels so much more physical to you in a way that your magic hasn't really before. You feel a very strange pull into this plant. You make it grow again. You give some life back to this plant. But as you're connecting with it, and Nils and Majumbo, you watch and you see that this dark gray trunk starts to, you know, turn back into the vibrant colors of one of the trees that you saw from the woods. The branches start to bud and blossom. And wow. The spell seems to be working as intended. God, it's working. We're saving it. Can't you feel it? But after a few moments, it starts to take something back from you. Roll a constitution saving throw.
Rolled a 12.
Navia rolled a dirty 20. 12 isn't going to do it. You start to feel very drained, like the valves get reversed.
Oh.
And the tree starts to almost pull, like, your life force from you in order to start to reconstitute. You see that Navy is getting really excited, like, God, we're doing it. But you
start to wobble on my feet.
Yeah. Like, you lose some energy. Yeah. And you feel drawn by it.
Nils recognizes that she's kind of flustering, and I run over to her and kind of hold on to her just a little bit. You okay? What's going on?
I don't know. It feels like it's taking something from me.
Well, stop it then. Stop.
And I look at Navia.
And she doesn't right away.
Navia, stop. Something's wrong.
Just a moment longer. We can take it. She can take it.
No. And then I pull Katheria away.
You, Katheria, are going to take 6 damage.
Whoa.
Necrotic damage, for what it's worth. And you were definitely there. There is some blood as your hand comes away from the tree. You leave kind of a bloody handprint. You see this, and everybody's kind of taken aback by it for a moment. And Majumbo comes over and says, "What was that? That did not seem like that's how that spell should go. It
and why only what? Why were only one of you affected? It's you're both druids. Yes, this is it's a, you made plants grow. That should be day one stuff.
It should be. Yes, and I think I move out of Nils's arms, and I mutter thank you.
Yeah.
And just look at my hand, because that doesn't make sense.
Navia kind of she stops. She keeps the spell going for a little while longer. That tree does start to come back alive, and it's only when she's done does she look back and she says, "I'm sorry. I didn't. I don't know what happened.
I don't either.
I guess these trees are like this for a reason. It's just not, I could feel. I could feel the pain in them. I didn't think it would come back to us. I'm sorry, Kat.
Yeah. I know you are. I don't want to stay in this area any longer than we need to.
I have a feeling we might be in the right place, or at least maybe somebody here knows something about
the cult of the White Oak.
Right. It's maybe we might be able to get answers in one of these taverns or something. More likely we'll find information on a hidden cult in a place like this than the main market square.
I agree.
Yeah. Maybe we should try that place. And he just like picks a random tavern, but you realize, Nils, you think it's just a random tavern, but you, Katheria, look over and you see that above this, above the door of the tavern, there is a pub sign that shows three interlocking rings.
Oh, would Katheria recognize that symbol from her readings, her interests? She ever seen
roll
anything
history.
Like that? I got history. Nat 20.
Ooh.
She looks up. She sees these three rings, and
what do you think it represents?
The three worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
The Bland Land, the Feywild, and the Dark Place. Garth Moreni's Dark Place.
Oh my God! Thank you for that reference.
The Shadowfell.
So it's these three disparate worlds that are linked.
Yeah, I think that Katheria would be thinking of that in this place after this weird encounter in this weird dark place where you just had this strange thing happen with this tree and you feel kind of weird because your friend put you in that position.
Yeah. Would she have anything? Does she know anything about the Shadowfell?
You don't know. You know
it's
very.
Just these
you,
two.
You only really know of it as like a place of legend. Like you know, like you would know of it.
But so is this,
right? I mean, you. Well, this is a little bit more real in that, like you know, you would have had like histories and stuff in like the library at Galamathir of like there were. People who have gone like we found some of the books in season one in D&D. Like there were travels between the Feywild and the known
Standing
world.
Standing stones. And
yeah,
okay.
Like that did exist and that happened. But like the Shadowfell is more like forbidden. It's more like you don't want to open a portal to that place because bad shit will come out of it. You know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's more of like. Don't fuck up with magic or you might, you know, end up there. It's more of like a threat. It's not really a hell. It's not really a punishment, but it's more of like a boogeyman kind of thing.
Gotcha.
But you do see this symbol, these three interlocking rings symbol. And I think that that is something that, especially with a Nat 20 history roll, that's something that's on your mind. You think that, oh, this might be. Is this connected? Is this a coincidence? Like you don't know for sure. That is what they are.
The jumbo. I think that's a great idea.
I could use a drink anyway. I mean, I think we could all maybe settle our nerves a little bit and, you know.
Same. Yeah. Beforehand, I'm going to cast, cure wounds on Katheria.
There is an ability called lay on hands.
It is.
Yeah. Which is a healing ability that, where you
oh yeah I'll just do that then
yeah because yeah. she's like holding on to her own hand in front of her
Mm-hmm.
Like when you burn yourself real bad.
Mm-hmm. You're doing that thing.
Yeah. And then so then I walk up behind her. I put my hand on her shoulder, on her right shoulder. I'm on her left. And then I do laying.
Lay on hands. You like do the tat. Like,
just like, yeah.
Wait, what?
I put my arm around you.
Okay.
And I rest my hand on your shoulder.
And you notice that your hurt hand starts to feel better.
But I don't say anything about it.
You just walk up to me and put your arm around me?
Yeah. And then I'm like, hey, how you feeling?
A bit better.
Good. Yeah, I was a little worried. I didn't want anything. I don't know. It was weird. I didn't want anything bad to happen. Not that it's weird that I didn't want anything bad to happen to you. I noticed you weren't feeling, something was wrong, and I wanted to make sure you were okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Not that big a deal. Just a bark burn. I mean, whatever. It's.
I know you're feeling guilty, Navia.
I am feeling nothing but a little thirsty. We're just going to go and have a drink now. I'm fine.
Oh, that's a weird reaction to being guilty. But
let's go.
Okay.
Your arm's a little heavy.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Take my arm off.
You head into the tavern. This tavern is underwhelming compared to everything else you've seen in the Feywild.
Oh, she's disappointed.
I think everybody is a little bit disappointed. I think all four of you are a little bit disappointed. Yeah. That you walk in and you see a mostly wooden tavern.
Like, of course you want like a cool magic tavern, but Kat was like, oh, the three circles thing. There might be something really special about this place. Especially special about this place. Nope.
And you walk in and it's a bar.
Damn.
I think that there is a little bit of disappointment.
Like an old lizard man just doing karaoke sadly in the just, corner.
Yeah, just sitting on a stool with a cigarette, his shirt open. just doing spoken word versions of like shitty Elven songs. Like,
no one's paying attention to him. He's always there on Fridays. It's like what he does.
He's got a wife and kids, but they're just too much sometimes.
It's Gerbert.
Oh my god. Singing his shitty business, country song.
His business is too much sometimes, and
he has a wealthy backstory where he like grew up in the Feywild.
Oh my god!
With his first family.
Oh no!
Oh, his first family.
Oh no! You just made him very really interesting.
Yeah.
He's the DB Cooper of lizard folk. Cooper. I don't want to commit to that for Gary.
Yeah, for sure.
Just to be clear.
It's his cousin. It'll be his cousin.
Yeah, it's a different Mertbert. The Mertberts go, they have deep roots. But yes, there is this sad lizard man doing karaoke. Otherwise, not too many patrons. Again, almost exclusively elves, although some are different colors. The bartender is a burly orcish person. There's a couple people at tables. There is an elvish barmaid that is casually and lackadaisically attending to the few people who are drinking about. There is a fire in a fireplace, normal-looking tavern. It's all a little bit underwhelming. You do see that, Kat, you clock right away, that above the bar itself is once again this three-ringed symbol.
Now, is this a prominently featured symbol, or is it like etched into the corner of the sign?
It's the sign for sure.
It's prominent then.
It's prominent enough. It's hanging above the door. The sign itself didn't look well maintained. It wasn't painted, or if it was painted, the paint is long worn away. You would have to look closer at it to find out for sure. The three rings that are above the bar are more subtle. They're
not quite a hidden Mickey, but almost in there.
Yeah. you know, it's not something that it's not the focal point of the back piece of the bar. That, you know, is a pretty standard, you know, like mirrored glass with bottles and stuff in front of it. But the three rings that are carved into the wooden piece above it, yeah, also looks like long neglected at best.
Can I perception check and see if there's anything oak, white oak, black oak, oaky something symbol? Because there, sure, there was the
you
emblem.
You want to see the woods that these that all this shit's made out of?
Yeah.
Yeah. Roll nature.
Nature. Oh, no. Oh no, I got a one.
Right as you're about to really like check into this, you kind of lean forward a little bit, you know, not noticeably, but you lean forward a little bit to look closer at the wooden placard that these three rings are carved into. And just as you do, the bartender opens a bottle of something that smells so bad.
Oh,
you are almost knocked off of your stool from it. It is a pungent liquid. And he reaches into this jar and it looks like it's a pickling liquid of some kind. And he brings out what looks to be a preserved insect of some kind.
Oh.
And he gives it to one. He puts it on a plate and gives it to the barmaid, who takes it to one of the tables. And you do not are not able to tell what kind of wood it is because you are so distracted by that disgusting display of culinary oddity.
If that's what we can expect from this menu, I don't know. Oh,
we need that jar.
What?
In case we get into a pickle.
Inspiration.
Thank you.
yeah. For getting into a pickle. It's very, very yes. good. We haven't had an inspiration in this one yet.
No.
I'll take the first one. Thank you.
Inspiration for in case we get into a pickle. I suppose we could try to buy the jar. I don't know if we need to come up with a scheme.
Well, do we have currency that they will accept? I don't think we do.
Yeah, like this was an oversight.
How is it an oversight? We didn't expect to be here.
Perhaps we can do a...
Ladies,
work.
You were trying to get here.
Well, excuse me?
Did you bring cash?
Did you plan on... Like, is there an exchange office or something?
Did you think that we knew what kind of monetary system the Feywild operated within?
I mean, I barely have money anyways in the normal world. We kind of mostly barter and trade things.
Ah, that's a good idea. Yeah, Kat, just go up and ask him if we'd have that
just
jar.
Just go up and ask him.
Just go up and ask.
Me?
He probably doesn't understand me.
Why do we need this jar? Don't say the joke again.
It was a good joke, though.
We're looking for the white oak cult.
Yeah, ask him for the jar and then say we're looking for the... We're going to throw this on the white oak cult. That's so stupid.
Nivea, he's not taking this seriously at all.
That was so funny in my head.
The rest of you, roll wisdom saves.
Wisdom saves?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm an idiot?
No.
I made him all stupid?
Let's say that you have been affected by the fumes of whatever is inside this jar.
When you said the rest of you, do you mean me?
Yeah, and the two characters that I play.
Oh, 24.
Oh, no. Bo is affected as well. Navia and Getheria, totally fine. God. Bo and Nils, a little bit loopy from the gases from the bug jar. Yeah,
the bug jar. Do it. Do we it. Need the bug juice.
Bug juice.
Bug juice.
Bug juice. Juice.
Navia, the boys.
I know, but it might be easier if you just do it.
Are you... You're on their side?
No, yeah, I'm always on your side. You know that. I do still feel bad about they something's up with them, and they're still chanting
bug juice
and like
it'll make them stop.
Maybe it'll just make them stop and like
bug juice.
Katheria gets up, clears her throat, and approaches the barkeep.
Okay, big broad guy, tusks, orcish looking. Not full orc in the way that you know orcs in your world, but very, you know, orcish looking.
Imposing.
Yeah, imposing. Yeah. Right. Broad, strong, corded with muscle, in the parlance of George R. R. Martin.
And in Elvish. Do you see my male companions over there? They are absolutely fascinated by that jar you have in your hands.
He kind of gets excited at that.
It's a proprietary blend.
Is it?
Yeah. You gotta know the right juices for the bugs, or it doesn't have that kind of intoxicating aroma, you know?
It truly is intoxicating.
Yeah, that's why I draw the big crowds.
Yeah.
And there are three people. Yeah. Other than you guys and the barmaid, there are three people in here.
What kind of crowds are you trying to draw?
The right kind of crowds.
And I think I'm going to sort of indicate the three circles with my eyes.
Okay.
Kind of gesture towards that symbol when he says the right kind of guy. I'll repeat the right kind of crowds and do a gesture towards the three circle symbol.
He doesn't quite pick up, but he knows that you're kind of like trying to kind of code out something.
Mm-hmm. What brings some new faces to this establishment?
I want to see how skeezy this guy is.
Insight.
Ooh, 22.
You can see poking out from under his sleeves. He has visible tattoos that depict, it looks like orcish battle scenes. You know, like the beginnings of a sleeve on each arm of like hardcore tattoos, like violent tattoos. The place itself is very seedy and, like I said, run down and unkempt. The only thing that looks really, the only thing that doesn't have like dust on it is this bug jar. He's very proud of his bug jar. His tusks are dull, cracked, you know, and, he's balding. He looks like a rough guy. He's got some scars on his hands. You don't know what they're from.
Are you interested in crowds that are interested in something like this? And I'm going to show him a peek at the hourglass that I've been hiding in my cloak.
He looks. Nils, roll perception.
Mm-hmm. 11.
You guys don't notice anything right away.
Okay.
But you, Katheria, see that he looks in and he sees your he sees what you're showing him, and he doesn't react maybe the way that you were kind of hoping.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, you might want to go show to Shaggle over at the magic shop a few doors down.
Mm.
It looks pretty fancy and not relevant to bugs and their juicing. I was kind of hoping it was going to be something like that. Sometimes I get elven salesmen like yourself coming in.
Elven salesmen like myself.
Well, yeah. You're not a salesperson? You're not...
No, I'm not a salesperson. And I take offense to you thinking that I would have bugs in my cloak.
I mean, I'm kind of known as the bug guy. You know, that's why I bring the crowds.
Well, the boys want to sniff your bug juice, so...
Okay, boys.
And he comes over and he starts speaking in Elvish to both of you, and he starts opening up the jar.
Yes, bug juice! Bug juice! More bug juice, please! Can we drink the bug juice?
Oh, that's crazy, but maybe. Can we?
Majumbo's fucked up. Majumbo says in Elvish, can we drink the bug juice? Yeah, you hear him speak Elvish. You've never heard him speak Elvish.
I'm just
before.
Like, yeah, that's... What?
Did they drink the bug juice?
I think they drank the bug juice, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I liked it, really. I don't know if I want another.
I don't want more bugs.
No. I like the smell, but I'm tasting it. But that was a bad idea. When did you... How... You said words that I didn't understand.
No.
I didn't understand.
No, you're just hearing things.
Am I? Is I this? Maybe. This stuff is maybe strong. Maybe it's too strong.
Maybe it's...
No, you're being silly.
Yeah.
You're being a little weird, though.
No.
You keep just repeating, yeah, no.
No.
Yeah.
Hey, Majumbo.
Yeah.
No, see, what is he doing? He keeps...
The bartender told me that I should show what we collected at the crash site to Shaggle at the magic shop around the corner.
Oh, a lead.
A lead.
A lead. You found us one. You are maybe in better condition to lead now than us.
Oh, your breath is wretched.
Us.
Okay, that wasn't an invitation for you to do it more.
Yeah, let's go to Schmoogles.
Shaggles?
Shaggles.
Oh. All right, let's go.
I grab the bottle.
D&D&D is a Moorpark Media podcast and a Spotify preferred partner. Written and edited by me, James Gressel. D&D&D is performed by James A. Janisse, Chelsea Rebecca, Beth Bradloff, and Mike Seigen.